Hi, everybody. So Caroline and I work together on this focus group, and you know what's interesting is you can have a hunch, but it's only a hunch, right, until you have research and you can document it in black and white. And then people will listen to you a whole lot more when you can say you backed it up with research. And so I didn't always have that background because I only finished my PhD 5 years ago, but now I get it, and we're using it as a tool to make things move forward. So just to carry on with what Caroline was saying is that we had a new director come to our center, and he started seeing things that we were talking to him about, but he started seeing it for himself, and so he agreed to help us do this focus group study and helped us with the financial piece of, you know, being able to pay them a stipend, because, you know, there's a credibility thing that if you pay people for their opinion, they're going to tell you the truth instead of make up a bunch of stories, right? So we hope and we feel like they did tell us the truth. So again, we use multi-generational horticulture growers. We're the second largest greenhouse production in the state of Florida. We're worth billions with a B, so we have a huge contribution to economic farm gate. And I've been there 25 years, so I know their parents quite well. I don't know them, and I don't know why I don't know them. So we, again, use some common qualitative methodology. And it gives you a more in-depth understanding because people will tell, they can tell you more things about what's going on in person where they can't always write that in if you're using a survey. So we did that. We audio recorded, and then you start looking for reoccurring themes. And for the essence of time, we selected like one quote that would support what we were trying to, you know, what we're trying to find out. Otherwise, we have, you know, 1,200 pages of data from everybody's comments. So the objective, again, was to understand the young industry professionals identified by those of us who are under 40 and perceptions of the university system, including extension, and to understand their perceived needs so we could figure out maybe some research things and some things extension could do to help them or attract them to us and get them up to speed. So this was interesting. Changes in their customer demands. That is seriously shaking up the industry, and I highlighted the meat of this one by saying the whole kind of supply chain disruption of agriculture, the larger entities are kind of breaking down into small local, more or less smaller operations that kind of feed a more local market. So that's kind of talking about how there's this shift, and people are not wanting to just go to big chain grocery stores when they can go to a small local grower. Less travel, more nutritious, all those kind of pieces come into the play, and they're trying to figure out how they can capitalize on that. Some other quotes. I will second the organic piece, meaning people want organic, but they don't have to have it certified. That was kind of where they were going, is that there doesn't seem to be a need to have a USDA certification for organic, proving you're organic, but if you're nearly organic, they're pretty happy with that because they know you're trying to use less pesticides, less impact on the environment. And that goes for ornamentals as well as vegetables. For those in indoor foliage, which this is a market that took a big hit during the recession. So 10 years ago, many of them did not get the market back to where they had it, and they're struggling to keep their market and their profitability. So in the indoor foliage, it seems that smaller, meaning size of plants, the little miniatures, is the hottest trend right now. And smaller pint size, smaller growth, smaller everything, they started doing a two-inch little pot, 2 inches across the diameter, line, and geared towards fairy gardens and terrariums. Who knew what was old is new again, okay? The 70s rocked terrariums. I taught that class in a hort therapy session, and now they're back, you know? So, you know, they're looking at what their best sellers are. They're trying to narrow it down. Again, that's kind of a niche market for the foliage guys. So finding that niche market, again, they're struggling to figure out, you know, where you get the best bang for your buck and where it's going to be a better target for their, you know, better target audience to sell their product. So you'll see where he says, So you're able to get the most out of your crop, so really figuring out the specialty part. What crops are going to grow best in the environment, even if it's not like a traditional larger crop, where, you know, we know people love the perfect tomato, right? And some other vine crops like cucumbers. Those are big, big deals, right? But there are smaller crops that other people love. And if you know your cultural demand, some of us have a larger Asian vegetable market now, right? So people have to be willing to expand into those markets. But finding how to do that is not always easy. Changes to their business. This was another challenge. Another fast-growing market is everybody is selling plants online, whether it's Amazon or eBay. And the challenge we are having is the shorter lead time. And when we are getting our orders, the time they want to be coming and picking them up. Okay, so let's think about that. They're ordering online. Most nurseries are leaving by 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon. They don't know until they walk in at 6 or 7 a.m. that, oh man, you've got to have maybe 850 plants pulled, and they're coming to pick them up that day. They don't have the labor to do that. And so that's been a shocking disruption to how they used to do business, okay? They were used to just having people call in or go online and say, we need 20 cases. The guy will be there to pick them up when you're ready. Let us know, right? Totally different thing. More changes. The demand on branded items. Okay, so what does that mean? So we know there's like proven winners, correct? In Home Depot, you see them all over the place. And if they know you're the wholesaler that's growing a branded product, they're actually trying to cut out Home Depot and go straight to the grower. And so that throws things off because they usually contract grow these plants, certain amount, they know they're sold, boom, profit's there, they're done, right? No, these people are now contacting them directly, and they're not ready for that. But again, that's a crapshoot, right? How much more do you plant to make that work? Are those people going to call again next year or in the next growing season and order that same, you know, order? That's demand is different, and preferential taste for of customers changes. We know that's the biggest piece of any type of business is understanding what's driven by the consumer. Okay, increased cost of production. So this is interesting because we are now in an industry that's trying to pay a living wage. You can see they're trying to do their best to come up to that so that people can afford to live and get nutritious food on their plates. But it's that's a huge cost. The value of the produce is not enough to cover that. Think about that. How many heads of lettuce do you have to grow in order to make enough money to pay somebody a living wage? Okay? Really difficult to figure all that out. And the coolest thing is some of these folks that are coming to us are new, and they're actually doing a market analysis and figuring their cost analysis out so that they can figure out just what they have to do to make all this happen, right? So for years, I used to teach them, it took me 20 years to teach them that if the bench was empty, you don't just plant it unless you have a market and you can sell it, right? Otherwise, it could end up in the dumpster. So these people that are new and fresh to this industry actually have a business background sometimes, or they're willing to do that work. Okay. Did it change? Yes. Okay. Another piece of cost production is that the ability to have good labor makes us have to work long. The lack of the ability to have good labor makes them work longer. And, you know, these are people who have kids. These are people who have to get the kids. And look, this person is basically saying they're getting these kids from school, and they're taking those kids to the farm, and they're having to stay there and work. And sometimes they feel like they live there. How long do you think that's going to last before they burn out and don't want to be a grower anymore? I mean, so that's a real issue with keeping growers around. We need everybody we can keep growing, right? Because we're not going to feed everybody if we don't keep all the growers we have. Who do they cater to? How do they figure out the market, and who do they cater to? So they're looking at, is it middle class? Is it upper class? Who's buying, right? So they don't generally look for the nicer plant. They just grab one, right? So who is that? Who's that market? Maybe that's Walmart. Maybe that's the old Kmart customer. Who's still purchasing plant material is what they're trying to figure out, because if they can grow a little bit less quality and still make that market and make the money, they might be able to scale down, you know? Again, they're just trying to figure out best use of their money, their labor, their time in order to produce a good quality crop and keep themselves profitable. So communication tips, this was interesting. What people are finding is that they are communicating more with people who want to know more about their food, right? So now they're like, wow, communication tips, I don't know what to tell them, I don't know how much to tell them. And then that takes time for every customer that shows up at their door. They got to stop what they're doing, right, and have a little education system. So we get to work with a lot of people who might be kind of well-versed in the art of growing food versus those who don't know the difference between compost and mulch. Well, we all know those are both audiences that still exist, right? So, again, it's how do we communicate, how do we help them learn how to communicate, and maybe reduce the time they spend talking to everybody. So the ability to do online sales, this was a big conversation. So kind of got diversified, you got to diversify to stay, you know, in it, just instead of doing the same thing, you just have to think, hey, what direction can I go, plan ahead, diversify your plan, at least be thinking about that. So the deal was this, they don't know how to do online sales. Maybe a class on the fact of, you know, online sales person, when I know a few growers that are making it work, they have one person dedicated to that. Their job is to check online sales every day. That person's job was to figure out how to get the packaging and shipping things figured out. So they don't know all those steps, and maybe we just get a best practices, you know, boom, 10 things you got to know if you're going to do this, and then they have something to work with and decide if they want to continue doing that. Diversification came up. The hydroponics and the aquaponics, there's still a lot to be learned. And that has changed. Being one of the people that has been in this since the beginning, with what we have done, we see a lot of difference. There is still a lot to be learned with aquaponics since there is not a viable operation as of yet in the country, in the United States. So, you know, the drive is from the need, and we will continue to have the trend, and the 35 and under seem to be driving that trend. So right now, they pointed out the fact that diversification is important, but there's a few key pieces missing, and most of it tends to be on the economics on whether they can survive and be profitable, particularly in these two styles of production. And guess what? There's not enough diversified extension agents that can help them with this problem. So the thing that I have noticed when talking to students and professors at the university and the extension office is that they are not used to diverse farming. They're not used to these urban scales. This is newer to them. So all of their research, the majority of the research, is being done on larger scale and more conventional scale. So they really don't know how to manage or how to assist small diverse farms. And they have openly admitted that to us. And that's fine, but we realize that we have acknowledged that. Now it is time to start working towards a commitment toward a small urban farm. So we're finding that, you know, it's different if you're producing mushrooms in a 4-foot by 4-foot area on your back porch versus a big mushroom farm, right? There's a whole different thing going on there. That's just one example of some things that happen in urban farms. So in conclusion, needs in the field, skilled labor, not only for workers, but faculty and extension professionals need training on diverse food production systems in the areas of urban food systems, hydroponics, aquaponics, and training for how to manage and handle online sales were really quite at the top of the list. Seek out opportunities to meet and work with the next generation. Their parents haven't told them about us. And I am very much a social person and a relationship builder, haven't figured out how to find them. But I do know they like microbrews. And I don't mind meeting them there, if that's going to be how we get them on board, okay? So there are ways that we need to change things up. And rather than form associations, they prefer the opportunity to network and collaborate. So we will be starting something called a farmer-to-farmer network in August so they can meet each other because they don't even know who each other is and see how that goes. So young individuals were under 40. We did it in nurseries as well as urban food. We want to inform the next generation who Extension is and needs in the field. We'll provide opportunities for a natural interaction, not a formal. They don't want to come to a workshop. Develop programming, educating producers on how to sell products online, and faculty and Extension need training too. And I don't think we have any time.
I don't think
I pushed it right to the limit.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.